Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Chief Justice, Michael Staley.
Hello.
And Judge Eric Asserslager.
Hello.
And Mac is taking a well-earned day off, so we'll put him on the bench right now. We got Michael to pinch hit. So let's get right into it. Michael, we were just saying you've got a crazy schedule, so you're about to travel. Is there anything you've been able to squeeze in of interest, whether going to see a movie or rubbing elbows with the glitterati?
No, it's been more site-related stuff. Nothing very interesting at all.
Anything to report on the site? How are we looking? Are we making any kind of forward momentum in a relaunch, perhaps?
We are. The target right now, and I know this has been a moving target now for a year, but we're looking at the end of September. So
excellent. All right. Are you encouraged by what you've been seeing so far? Is this relationship working out a little better?
On the backside, yeah, the functionality that we need for us is coming along nicely. It's the front end that I'm still concerned about.
Oh, really? The design stuff?
The interface, yeah.
Ah, okay. All right, well, hopefully we achieve that. So I'm sure that'll be a load off your chief chest.
It's been going on for 2 years now, so yeah, I'm ready to be done with it.
Nice. All right, Eric, how about you? Anything to report it? You see, I think you saw a couple movies recently, right?
Maybe. Yeah, I've actually been to the theater, which is rare for me. I know it's not. I tend to see things, you know, mostly when they come out on video, just because there aren't any theaters that are super close by or cheap, except for the one theater that's super close by and cheap and doesn't show a lot of movies I want to see. But they got Captain America, so I saw that and really dug that a lot. I really enjoyed that. So I think it's up there among my favorite of the comic book movies, definitely. And I know you and Dan covered it pretty extensively on Objection, so I won't dwell on it too much, except to say that I had a lot of fun with it. And then just this past weekend, I got to see Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which was kind of came out of nowhere for everyone. It seems like I know that I saw the trailer early on and kind of dismissed it. But then it got kind of crazy buzz, so I had a chance to see it, and I really, really loved it. I thought it was a great movie, and of the movies I saw this summer, definitely at the top of the heap for me. Did either of you get a chance to see it, Michael?
I have not. Michael?
I did. I went opening day.
Oh, great, okay.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I was one of those fanatics who, as a kid, watched all of the original sequels, because ABC 7 in Chicago used to do these after school marathons where they'd have like Ape Week or something, and each day they'd do one of the movies. So I used to live for stuff like that. And so TV series and the animated series.
So what do you think the studio's plans are for the franchise? I mean, they have to be pleased by the results. So are they more sequels? Or what are they looking at right now, you think?
Yeah, I scanned very quickly an interview with the director on, I think it was Collider. But he has some great ideas about what he wants to do for the next movie and maybe one or two more after that. But the end credits were very cool, yeah. As Eric will probably tell you, that they set it up beautifully.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie because it definitely leaves it, you know, wide open for a sequel. And obviously, we all know what happens, in a sense, because this is a prequel. Although, I don't know if I've ever seen any of the other Planet of the Apes movies all the way through. And
really?
I don't know why. It just happened that way. It's just one of my movie shames, I guess. And I do want to check them out now after watching this. But yeah, it definitely leaves it open for sequels, which I like. While at the same time, if it ended with this and they never made another movie, it's satisfying enough.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't hit you over the head with what's happening, but you know what's going to happen. But yeah, it is definitely a genre movie. It is kind of a sci-fi thriller type thing. Although it kind of switches from genre to genre really nicely, easily. I mean, at times it's a prison movie, a really compelling prison movie. I know the director made a prison breakout movie. Oh. I don't know the name of it, but I read that after the fact.
Caged Heat.
I don't think it was Caged Heat. maybe I don't know. Is that sounds like a woman in prison movie? Is that what that is?
It is, yes.
Okay. I don't think it was that. Although there are animals in prison here. But yeah, so it's that. I mean, there are times that I said, oh, this is kind of like Frankenstein, and ooh, this is like a Gremlins moment. Ooh, this is like an E.T. moment. Ooh, this is like – and it just kind of builds, and the characters are really cool. I mean, the central character, obviously, and he's getting a lot of well-deserved praise, played by Andy Serkis as Caesar, the lead ape. And just the transition that he makes from the beginning of the movie to the end is completely believable and compelling and told almost entirely through body language. You know, there are a few places where they, I won't say cheat, but they use ape sign language and so on to kind of make it explicit. But I think one of the things that I really appreciated about this movie is that it's not exposition heavy. You get enough, and there's certainly people who make proclamations and so on, but it really is told organically. You don't get that a lot, especially in summer movies. It's very well paced. You know, it doesn't, with the exception of kind of one early, sort of mini montage that, which makes sense because you need to show the passage of time. It really unfolds, at its own kind of, its own pace and kind of builds to this really, thrilling, climax. And I give them a ton of credit for being able to create this action sequence where you're never confused. You never don't know what's going on. You're clear about, you know, where they're going, why they're going there, and what it's going to take, you know, to bring it to a close. I know that there have been a lot of, I think most of the complaints about the movie or the criticisms kind of come down to the humans in the movie. And, you know, I think James Franco is fine. I think he did what he needed to do. I mean, John Lithgow also fine. I think the only kind of performance in the movie that I will, you know, knock is Tom Felton, aka Draco Malfoy, who, you know, just I don't know if I've really been impressed by any of the Potter kids really outside of those movies, but he, you know, he basically just is the sneering, you know, dick prison guard, and dude, you know, and it's a caricature of that part. It's a necessary function of the movie, and it works well, but you know, he doesn't bring a lot to it. But overall, just a total fun summer movie, total fun movie. I really recommend it. I look forward to seeing it again sometime.
Yeah, there's definitely some replayability to it to catch some things again.
Now this is a Universal movie, Michael.
Universal
Fox. Okay, so were they surprised by how well it's been received and how well it's done?
If they were, they were keeping it a secret because, like Eric said, this whole thing was pretty much dismissed, especially by the internet.
It seemed like a franchise that really, you know, did it, you know, failed to really resonate for a long time too, you know?
Yeah, well, and let's face it. I mean, the sequels were all pretty bad in their own right. They had moments, and it was a Star Trek kind of cheese factor to it that made them so much fun to go back and watch again. But no, this takes it to an entirely different place. There was so much human emotion and heartfelt emotion felt in this movie that you never would have found in any of the originals. So it's definitely playing on a different level, and I hope they're able to continue it and do something special with it as opposed to devolve into yet another, you know, summer Michael Bay kind of.
Nice. Devolve. I see what you did there.
Yeah, I mean, it is a prequel to a long-running franchise, but it feels like a standalone movie. Do I remember reading somewhere that they originally wanted to call it just Rise of the Apes or something like
that?
Yes,
there was no Planet of the Apes tagline in the original title.
Yeah, which I think it's neither here nor there. I mean, a seven-word title is pretty cumbersome, and it doesn't help the movie very much. But it could have easily been Rise of the Apes and had almost nothing to do with Planet of the Apes and been just as successful.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Nothing nearly as no epiphanies like that for me recently. I've been watching the new episodes of Kirby Enthusiasm, been enjoying that. But underreported story, I think. Seinfeld in high definition. Michael, are you aware of any plans to release a high definition version of Seinfeld?
No, are we talking to physical media? Are we talking?
I can access it through TBS On Demand or even on reruns in HD channels. I mean, widescreen, high detail, Seinfeld HD.
There's been no rumblings about it.
It seems like a very underreported story, if you ask me.
Huh.
So I don't know. That's just my don't even know how they did it, to tell you the truth. I don't know how.
I don't know. I'm loving watching Star. I'm going back and watching the old classic Star Trek in HD on Netflix Instant, and I'm just eating
that's
it.
That's right. So they're all on there. Next Generation too, right? Like all 12,000 episodes.
Except
right?
for Deep Space Nine. That's not coming until October, I think, because of licensing issues.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's it for me. So we can move on to stuff for the site. So obviously you kind of gave us your site report already. Have you watched anything? Have you been able to watch anything for review, Michael, or is it all?
No, I snagged Blues Brothers on Blu-ray.
Right.
Dan Mancini had already done a fantastic DVD review of the same. It's basically the same release with the same bonus features and everything. But being the native Chicago boy who holds this movie very dear, I figured I'd write it up when I'm on the plane on Friday. So,
all right, nice.
Yeah.
How's it look?
It looks great. There's two different prints. The extended print is interesting because they grab some older source material. So as you're going along, you know, in a beautiful HD print, all of a sudden they throw in this really grainy, washed out segment of cut footage that just kind of takes you out of it and then goes back in. But it's interesting to see, you know, how Landis would have recut the movie had he given been given the chance at the time.
All right, Eric.
A couple things quickly. I wasn't on last week, so I didn't get to sing the praises of Super, the new James Gunn movie. But that was I'd heard good things about it, but just watching it was just a really wonderful surprise. Very unique movie in that I would not recommend it to everyone. I'd probably only recommend it to a very small number of people that I know. Just because it can get very over the top in the violence. And it can be off-putting just as far as the degree to which he goes to kind of make the violence off-putting, which I think is kind of rare in a movie. For the amount of to back up, it's a story of Rainn Wilson plays a guy whose wife, played by Liv Tyler, leaves him for her drug dealer, played by Kevin Bacon, and so he basically has this epiphany or vision or mental breakdown, however you want to look at it. And decides to become a superhero, and so he calls himself the Crimson Bolt, makes himself a costume, and decides that a pipe wrench is his best weapon against crime, even just petty criminals. So there's a lot of cracked skulls and that kind of stuff, and it goes to some kind of disturbing places in the same way that the Kick-Ass did. I know that it's kind of hard to talk about one movie without the other just because they do a similar thing on a very basic level, although they're very different movies. But I think that it's if you're at all burned out by superhero movies like I am, it's just a really nice change of pace because it works both as a kind of superhero, you know, comic book movie and as a film rather than just trying to shoehorn comic books into a film setting. And it's very funny. It's very kind of dark and disturbing and cool and just unique. And Ellen Page is great. And it's just full of a lot of great, weird, wild, disturbing stuff. So,
Dave will appreciate it.
Yeah. I think Dave would like it. Yeah.
I'm not sure if Carrie would though. So
probably not.
All right. And something else said?
Oh. And this week I'm reviewing, Muppets Take Manhattan on Blu-ray, which is my least favorite of the original Muppets trilogy, although compared to every Muppet movie that's been made since Jim Henson died, it's, you know, head and shoulders above that stuff. But Blu-ray transfer, not that impressive. Pretty dark, pretty grainy. At least there's not a lot of edge enhancement and stuff, but it's not, you know, it's not a huge upgrade. But there's still a lot of funny moments in that, and the fact that it introduced the world to the Muppet Babies, I will always kind of hold it dear. But so that's fun.
And let me say that the verdict audience will weep because Eric turned down a Mystery Science Theater review assignment.
Man's got to do what a man's got to do for the woman who tells him how to do it. So
it's all right. Dave Ryan has stepped up and will dutifully take your spot on this one.
So does that mean that I'm getting something borrowed?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Well, I will let my wife know tomorrow.
We'll be there as this is broadcast.
I will be waiting by the mailbox.
Boy, well, on that note, we're talking about something that the ladies will enjoy. How about the Sword and Sorcery collection? Deathstalker 2, Barbarian Queen, The Warrior and the Sorceress. If any, if there's any
pecs, biceps and stuff there.
Absolutely. I mean, if there's any example of a film failing to live up to its cover art, it's these movies, you know? Like, The Warrior and the Sorceress, take a look at that. David Carradine wearing, like, a barbarian Speedo. He's lathered up like a corn on the cob. He's holding his broadsword. And, I mean, it's David Carradine we're talking about. You know, it's like my dad running around in this movie. So it's not quite being it's not quite delivering to its – I mean, the artwork's fantastic. You know, it's like something you'd see spray-painted on a van here in Goffstown. But it's the movies themselves are a little hit and miss. But they're kind of fun. You know, little 80s sword and sorcery movies are kind of fun in their own right. So, of the four, I would give the original Deathstalker my vote as my favorite one, just because their so-called hero is just a gigantic tool, and it's just hard to root for him because he just does so many stupid, terrible things. But the women seem to love him, so who am I to judge? So. Yeah, and plus Barbie Benton is in it. You remember her?
Vaguely.
Yeah, she's one of those 80s bombshells. So, and her first name is Barbie, so that's a win. And then the other thing, Dexter Season 5, another strong installment of one of my favorite shows on Blu-ray. Only downside is, for some reason, they're putting all their extra features on, not on disc, but you only access them through BD Live, which seems kind of lame. Yeah. Second time in a row. I think the last season did the same thing. So, I mean,
Is that because they have to leave so much room for all those episodes of other TV shows they stick on there?
No, that's even on. There's nothing.
Oh, really?
That's
oh, wow.
There's zero on disc. So,
in a way, that's kind of a ripoff because you're paying for something that you don't get to keep.
True enough, and you may not even have access to. Let's be honest.
Right.
So, yeah.
That was last night here at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood. They were doing the big release party, which I turned down the invitation to go. But, oh, well.
Maybe that was the best choice of your life. Maybe someone was mysteriously killing everybody in that release
party. Yeah. Well, Michael C. Hall wasn't even there. I mean, I think the only big name that showed up was Edward James Olmos, and he's in this new season, right?
Right. Yeah, so a little odd.
Yeah.
But still a great season. So anyway, moving on, let's take a look at what's coming out on August 16th in the upcoming DVD releases section of DVD Verdict. I don't know, a lot of kind of random stuff as is usual, so I don't know if you guys see anything. There's Priest.
I was just going to say, did you see that in the theater?
I haven't seen it, and we didn't get it to review, did we?
No, we only got the DVD.
I mean, it seems like something I'd like, but it was in and out in a flash and wasn't well reviewed, so I don't know. I guess Paul Bettany's really carving out his name for these terrible comic book adaptations or something.
Yeah,
so.
What's up with that? Is that Maggie Q also in that?
I think so. I think she's in it too. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Eric.
No. I was only going to say There's Something Borrowed. So you want a glimpse of my pen?
There you go.
Take a look.
John Krasinski too.
Yeah, good for him, you know?
Good for him. Yeah.
Now from there is Charlie Sheen on Spin City.
That's right.
Charlie never dies.
Yeah. He's confirmed fatality though in 2.5 Men, correct?
Yeah. The spoiler alert, if you want to turn it off, the story that's out of Studio City here is that he is pushed onto a subway
by an ex-girlfriend.
Third rail, yeah, by an ex-girlfriend.
Wow.
Right?
Oh, I thought that was going to be by Chuck Lorre.
Huh.
Well, metaphorically, yes.
Sure.
Much of these are re-releases, like Demolition Man and Cobra. I feel like they've been on Blu-ray before, but maybe not.
You know what the thing seems to be with Blu-ray now is they're releasing them again with either digital copy or DVD copy and calling them like a new release.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. And another week, no Turner and Hooch Blu-ray. That's sad.
I'm a big fan of Demolition Man. I might need to dip my toes into that one. Let's see.
Another Batman Brave and the Bold release, which if you haven't caught it, is a, you know, I thought it was, when it first came out, it was going to be just a kid's version of Batman, but it's actually a really smart take on it. Warner Animation has done some interesting stuff. They're doing the same thing with Scooby-Doo right now, where they're they're kind of doing some – the guys who worked on Tiny Toons and Animaniacs are now – have grown into full-time producers, and they're working on these other shows for Cartoon Network. And they're doing some really smart stuff, so I'm impressed that they've given them a chance to do this.
All right, well, I think that's – it looks like a mixture of movies to watch with your wife and –
with your probation officer?
Movies to watch with your probation officer, yes. I do like that. Must Love Cats. That looks like a winner right there. Movies to watch with your crazy old lady neighbor. all right, well, inadvertently sleazy sounding deep release of the week. Michael, what do you see?
For the uncircumcised crowd, I'm going to go with Hoodwinked 2.
Great. Which, from all accounts of that movie, a Briss is more entertaining than that. All right, Eric, what do you think?
I'll go with Cul-de-sac.
Oh, nice. Glad you guys are rising above and not going for the obvious one. So I'm gonna follow your lead and go with Medium Raw.
Ooh,
yeah. What was the – I didn't even
– The Bang Bang Club, right?
It's gotta be it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what we missed is John Carpenter's The Ward.
I know nothing about that. What is that?
Which is another ARC Entertainment release, which means we're not going to get a copy of it.
Oh, lameness.
But everyone was kind of hoping it would be Carpenter's return to form.
Oh, it's a new Carpenter. Okay.
Yeah, but apparently it's not.
Looks, I didn't give it a second look because it looks like the same old kind of hostile torture porn stuff. So, although it's very similar looking to Meet Monica Valora, whatever that is. See the Discover art? Very similar.
Kim Cattrall. Yeah.
All right. So let's just wrap it up with our ambush topics. Just random topics we'll throw at each other. I will start. Football season is upon us, believe it or not. They no more lockouts. So just football. There you go. Football. That's all I'm going to give you. Football scenes, football movies, football players in movies, whatever you want.
Wow. Well, I mean, there's classic stuff, like stuff that'll make you cry, like Brian's song.
Never seen that one. I've never gotten around to
really?
That song, right?
No. I think growing up in Chicago, you have to see it. It's
okay,
all part
it's one of those.
Cultural zeitgeist. Yeah, because the story of Brian Piccolo and, you know, his relationship with Gail Sayers and Brian's dying of cancer. And,
so what's this song?
It's got to be a Zeppelin tune, right? No, I don't know. It's just one of those classic... like Rudy, inspirational tearjerker kind of. Yeah,
Rudy's another good one too, by the way. Nice. Yeah. Way to sneak that in. Very good.
Well, taken away. I'll go more the football player route, and I'll go to O.J. Simpson in the Naked Gun.
That's right. He's strong in that those movies, though.
He is. You know, it's before everything changed.
Yes, threw it all away. He had that.
He had
the
Naked Gun.
The palm of his hands, and then he dropped it. So close. Well, I'm going to go with my favorite sequence, one of my all-time favorite terrible movies. It's the Palace Guard fight in Flash Gordon, where Sam J. Jones takes on Ming's Royal Guard, who are absolutely pathetic, and he beats them with like a football-sized egg, aluminum egg of some sort.
I'll have even more Oompa Loompas anyway. So
that's right. They were those walking Trojan condoms. That's what those things were.
Yeah. Right.
But I did. I was able to track down Target. I was in Marshalls, and there was an action figure, the Flash Gordon action figure, and it's
no kidding.
And it's with him with that. It's from that sequence. He's got the little football thing, and I haven't taken out the package yet. I only bought it for $2, so it's probably probably not a collector's item. But I do want to take it out. But yeah, Flash Gordon.
So you pointed up the cash.
Ah. That's it. All right, that earns you, Eric, the second. You go next. I'm just stopping.
Right, well, speaking of John Carpenter, I've actually been watching a bunch of his movies on Netflix Instant recently, just to play catch up. None of the they don't have really well they have The Thing, which is a big one, but they don't have like Halloween. They've got some of the more obscure ones to me. So my topic is pit monsters from John Carpenter movies against each other, and determine the outcome. Monsters, creatures, baddies, however you want to play it. I'll leave it up to you.
Wow, okay. I will take the whatever that thing was that wound up on Kurt Russell's truck at the end of Big Trouble in Little China.
That's good. Right, that's good.
against Michael Myers.
Ooh, nice. Who wins that bout?
I'm going to go with that pig thing.
Really? You think he defeats Michael Myers, huh?
Yeah. Tears the head off and kind of wears it on a stick, you know. Predator-esque.
I'll go with one of the aliens. I guess, yeah, one of the aliens from They Live. Take your choice. You know, from
They're all the same.
You know, and we'll put him against. I'm gonna go with Big Trouble in Little China too, Michael. The floating head thing. That reminds me of those Madballs. Oh, you guys remember Madballs? Yes. You guys remember Madballs? Yes. So the Madball guy versus one of the aliens, and I think they fight to a draw because they're both extremely useless.
You know, this is true.
The aliens are once you put the sunglasses on and you're up, you understand what's happening. They're not. I mean, they're like a poorly organized bureaucracy, and they, you know. And you just knock out one chintzy, poorly defended satellite dish, and it reveals their complete identity. So I don't think they organize very well. And then Madball guy just kind of hung around and waited to get stabbed in the head with a sword. So
yeah, he doesn't even talk.
Yeah, he's David Lopan's vision, right? And his floating eyes. But it's a cool effect. So I'll give him that much.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so fight to a draw, and the audience walks away disappointed.
Okay, I was going to use aliens from They Live, but I won't because you just did. So I will I'll take the thing from The Thing versus all the H.P. Lovecraft creatures from In the Mouth of Madness.
Never saw that one.
I watched that today. Oh. Apparently, The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and The Mouth of Madness are like a trilogy of sorts. Not
really
story wise. He calls them like apocalypse trilogy. One of these things is definitely not like the others, but I'm not sure, boys. You got The Thing, which like assimilates creatures, and then you've got basically the elder gods together. Boy, I don't know. I think I'm gonna give it to the to Cthulhu and his band of merry men. The worst the thing could do is make their heads go on upside down. Which I think they already are. That's the thing. They're so grotesque to begin with that I don't think there's any way you can make them worse. So, sorry, Thing.
Huh. Well, we saw what Cthulhu did to South Park, so, you know, it's got some. Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Call of Cthulhu?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's great. I believe really? That's what it is. Great in totally terrible way. I think that's what it's called, Cthulhu. It's where they reuse shots and, like, actors that were killed. You know, actors who played a character that was just killed shows up a couple frames later. It's kind of legendary as far as its badness.
I think that is also on Netflix Instant.
Yeah, I would check that out. You probably get the YouTube highlights too. I think it's Call of Cthulhu. So, all right, nice. All right, Mike, wrap it up.
All right, so it doesn't have to be a franchise. It could just be a single film, but a movie or a franchise that you would like to see a prequel made for. Much like Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Done especially well, not
nice. You know,
so something we'd actually like to see, not just okay.
Right.
So no joke answers. Okay, fine. Gotta make it difficult.
Hmm. Ooh, you know I don't know if this is fudging it or not. Eric, we've talked about this before, but I would love to see I am fudging it because it's a TV series. But I always thought I would love to see a prequel to 24. Mm-hmm. You know, and even if it was like a season, I don't know, that would have been really crazy. But like, see Jack Bauer prior to he kind of got wrapped up in C2 bureaucracy and all the shenanigans that followed him, you know, because he has obviously got this dark past of being a special forces. So seeing Jack Bauer in his element and maybe apply the real time, because obviously they were kind of running out of ideas in the real time formula towards the end. So why not like go back in time, put him in like some kind of hot zone somewhere, and he's got 24 hours to get out, and blah blah blah. And then you just see him as like a badass soldier or something. I've always thought that would be cool. And then the obvious answer, of course, is a prequel to Willow. But you know, we don't need to go there anymore.
It's Doesn't Warwick Davis' character start out as a baby in Willow?
That's the princess is a baby.
Oh, okay.
He's already established as a farmer, and he wanted to be a magician.
So it's the story of how he develops his farm. He fights the local bureaucracy, and maybe there's a union involved. I'm not quite sure how.
Yeah, he haggles with about seeds and and farm equipment. He and Burglecut go back and forth, what's a fair price for him to sell his crops that year. It's kind of like The River with Mel Gibson and Sissy Spacek. So, and then the other side, you got Mad Mardigan, running around, fornicating, I suppose.
I can see that. I can see kind of jumping back and forth between the two stories. On one hand, you have the argument over subsidies, and then you got Mad Mardigan, boning everything he sees. I don't know how you bring them together.
Yeah. But hey, it's not for me to decide.
No, I mean, we leave that up to the wizards in Hollywood.
We do.
I will go with Gremlins.
Yeah, you took mine. That's exactly
right. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
All right. Well, I guess that's how it goes in the Friday filibuster. Dave took They Live, so I'll take your Gremlins.
That's right.
We see what kind of destruction and mayhem are involved when the Mogwai turns into all those Gremlins. How do they figure out the rules to begin with? Where do they come from? And what happened to actually bring it down to the point when Gizmo was just in that shop?
Yeah,
maybe. Go ahead.
No, I was thinking something along a big along the lines of Big Trouble in Little China, like actually in Asia, and how these characters or how these creatures came about.
Or maybe it's not about the Gremlins. It's just about Gizmo, and it's basically like an American Tale, but with Gizmo. And he sings somewhere out there, and he meets some ethnic stereotypes. I'm not really sure. I mean, again, this is for the wizards in Hollywood to figure out.
Speaking of Gizmo, my Gizmo's all tied up in my headphones here. What are you doing, buddy? Scoot.
At least he's not pooping all over the place, right?
No, well, that's good.
That's good.
Although he's heading outside, so that has me concerned.
Well, you better sneak in your answer that was stolen, so you got to come up with something else instead of Gremlins.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think because the other stuff that I was would immediately come to mind has already been done. Like, they did the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Right.
Because God knows we don't need to see Harrison Ford in any other sequels. Lucas keeps talking about wanting to do a Star Wars television series, but it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Stop! You're just putting off the inevitable, Michael.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Blues Brothers prequel. Or would that be really boring? I don't know. Isn't there a story? I mean, they kind of show up, and there's a backstory there that we don't see, right?
It would kind of be like an 80s cartoon series, wouldn't it?
I think you're right.
Jake and Elwood as teenagers or something.
That's right. That's pretty good. I can see that.
Yeah.
Jim Henson's Blues Brothers babies.
That's right. Yeah, they're getting into all kind of misadventures, like a Nickelodeon show, perhaps.
There you go.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for the Friday Filibuster. So we will wrap it up. Thank you for listening. Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is our email. Feel free to check out those upcoming DVD releases we went over earlier and purchase and support DVD Verdict. And hey, keep your fingers crossed for a September relaunch of a sexy new site. So we shall see. So thank you, Eric. Thank you, Mike and Mac. Hope you're enjoying your day off wherever you are. See you later.